Hi friends, welcome to day two of Advanced Studio Classroom's adventure article this month called Cyclocross. We're talking about kind of a new sport in the U.S. and in Europe as well, I'm told. From what I've read, it's growing in popularity. And it's an exciting sport, and the author tells us that one reason it's such a great sport is because it allows parents and children to participate together. It really doesn't matter what ability you are when you enter the sport or start doing the sport. You can enjoy it no matter your ability. Well, again, in the studio with me is Linda. Hi, Linda. Welcome back.
Hi, Steve.
Linda is an avid cyclist again, and so we love having you here, and your English is very good, too.
I love being here as well. Thanks, Steve.
Yes, and Ben, welcome back.
Yeah, thanks for having me back, Steve.
Ben is a very enthusiastic young man. Also, great English.
And I can bike.
And you can bike. That's right. Well, as is our custom here, I like to go back a little bit to yesterday's lesson and kind of review or recap something we've learned and share that again with our friends. So we'll start with you, Linda. What's something that you would like to highlight?
Well, we read that cyclocross is very welcoming to all abilities. And I think that is important in the sport and why it's becoming so popular. So anyone, you know, can be a child or can be an adult, any age can participate, almost any age. I mean, you have to be able to ride a bike.
Okay, good. What about you, Ben?
Well, yesterday we learned that cyclocross is a mapped out set course, and it has lots of varied different obstacles or terrain and maybe a mud trail, but you have to go through it with your bike, so they have to make special bikes for cyclocross. So it can't just be a road bike, which has thin tires. It can't just be a mountain bike, which has thick tires. It's got to be a kind of a cross of the two.
Right. And there's that word again, cross. Very well spoken. I like the idea about parents. There's this thing in American culture, again, where parents spend a lot of time driving their kids around town to different athletic events and different programs. And the author uses the word chauffeuring. And a chauffeur, again, is someone who drives people professionally. And they usually wear a nice suit, and usually it's kind of an expensive car. You'll see on TV or in the movies, the chauffeur is the one driving the rich people around. And sometimes parents use that language, meaning like they don't really love me or know me. I'm just the chauffeur. I'm just the person hired to drive them around.
Right. It's like parents are always doing things for their kids, but not necessarily with their kids.
That's exactly what I want to say. That's right, Linda. So this sport allows the parents to do just that. All right. Well, let's start day two and talk about an exciting cyclocross race. If you have your magazines with you, please open them to page 43, and let's begin reading Describing the Race.
Describing the Race. The Pumpkin Cross was a 1.78-mile course set up through the park. Riders were given 30 minutes to do as many laps in that time as possible. In most cases, that was three or four. This was a winding, rolling, white-knuckle ride with hairpin turns and curls up and down the sides of big hills. And then there were stairs, barricades, and a fallen tree to get over. The fastest riders gracefully hopped off the bike and ran up, around, and over the obstacles in their way. The rest of us just sort of managed. This is a furious ride over all the bumps and divots of the earth. Kids and adults do the same course. Going up that killer hill was lung-burning, and going downhill was thrilling for the kids who don't worry about crazy things like broken teeth and hip replacements.
Okay, most of this story so far takes place in a state called Wisconsin. Where is Wisconsin, Ben?
Wisconsin is up north in America.
Good. All right. Linda, we're more specific.
Consider it the Midwest. I would consider it the Midwest.
Okay. It's north. It's near what? It's near the Great Lakes, right? It's Great Lakes kind of surround and border some of it, so it's really cold in the wintertime.
Where they make a lot of cheese.
Right. There's a lot of dairy farms up there in Wisconsin. And so in the fall, of course, there are a lot of pumpkins being grown. That's kind of a tradition, part of the fall harvest. And so they have a race called the Pumpkin Cross. There's that word again, cross. We just add it to different...
I love that. We
motocross, pumpkin cross.
We should add it to other things, like okay. Studio classroom cross.
Maybe. Maybe not. Okay. It was a 1.7-mile course set up through the park. And I just kind of translated that to give you an idea. It's not very long. It's about 2.8 kilometers long. So it's not long, but it is challenging. Mm-hmm. So riders were given 30 minutes to do as many laps. This is interesting because most games, most competitions, you try to be the first one across the finish line. But the rules of this game are a little different, right, Linda?
Right. It's not doing like one continuous like lap. It's doing multiple laps. And it's interesting how they place you at the end. So it's not a designated number of laps. They don't know it yet until after the leaders from the first lap have come to the finish line.
Yeah, pretty interesting. And maybe that's one reason why so many people from different abilities can participate, is because it's not trying to get there first. It's not who gets there first. I don't know exactly how the winner is determined, but it's not one finish line. Okay, so this was a winding, rolling, white-knuckle ride with hairpin turns and curls up and down the sides of big hills. That's a long sentence with some big words. So this is the race, and if you are driving something like a car or a bicycle and you're white-knuckling it, what does that mean, Ben?
Well, if you're white-knuckling it, often when we hold something and we grip it really firmly, our knuckles will turn white. And so usually when they say white knuckling, it's describing something that's so difficult or so nerve-wracking, mm-hmm, that your hands are clenched and your knuckles are turning white.
Yeah, you're tense. Maybe you're afraid. Mm-hmm. And so you're grabbing onto something so tightly that the blood just kind of drains out of your knuckles and they turn white. Do you white knuckle when you drive your bicycle through the streets of the city?
Not usually, but it could be a white knuckle experience, the way some people drive.
Yes. Another time people will have white knuckles is when they go on a roller coaster.
Mm-hmm.
They want to hang on. They think maybe they're going to fall out or it's so scary. They want to hold on as tightly as possible. So you get the idea that there's some fear, some trepidation, some stress involved.
Mm-hmm. And at the same time, there's excitement.
Yes, very good. Okay, next, with hairpin turns. Why would we describe a turn as a hairpin turn, Ben?
Well, a hairpin is something that you use to hold your hair together. Usually girls use it. I don't use it myself, but a hairpin, it goes in one direction and then very quickly goes back in the other direction, the opposite of the first. And so if you're on a bike and you turn around to almost 180 degrees,
mm-hmm,
that might be called a hairpin turn because it's kind of shaped like a hairpin.
Okay, that's right. Like a sideways U, but it's very tight, right? A very tight U. And it curls up and down the sides of big hills. So there are hills involved.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a challenge. And then there are stairs. That's a challenge.
Yeah, yeah, I don't usually bike up stairs.
So yeah, I think it would be impossible to bike up stairs. So that means that you have to get off your bike and carry it and, mm-hmm, run up the stairs.
Right.
So it's kind of like a cross between a run and a bike.
It has some running in there, yeah.
Yeah, that's why it's really nice if you have a light bicycle, mm-hmm, because you're going to have to carry it sometimes. Barricades are placed. You'll find some barricades in the race as well. And when I see the word barricades, these are things that are purposely placed to keep people from going where they want to go. Okay, it's not like it happened in nature. It's not like a tree fell over the path. Barricades are put there by people. And you'll see barricades in the city sometimes to direct traffic and people, right?
And it's usually done for safety reasons, all right? Maybe they're doing construction or something, and they need to put up barricades to prevent people from going in that dangerous area.
Yes.
Not in this case, though. This is done for the fun of the people riding the bike.
Exactly. Or to give them an obstacle.
Yeah. Yes. Give them something hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes we ride in the city, and it's necessary that we get off our bike to carry our bike up some stairs or over a wall or up a bridge, right? You have to do that sometimes?
Sometimes, yeah. Or over a curb.
A curb.
That's too
big. Do you ever hop the curb and stay on your bike? That would be a skill to have.
Going over a curb? A curb, but not going up, not jumping over it.
Really? Could you jump over something that's maybe 6-8 inches high?
I haven't jumped.
Lift up your front wheel and then go over it without getting off your bike.
Like an extreme sport.
No, I haven't tried that yet. But it would be a good skill to have.
Yes.
Can you do that, Steve?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't have a big sense of danger when I ride my bike, though I probably should.
Need for speed.
Yes. Well, if you are in this race, it helps to have these kinds of skills where you can jump over a small log or ride down maybe a staircase. Going up a staircase is difficult, but depending on the staircase and the quality of your bike, mm-hmm. it might be worth considering going down the staircase. Have you ever gone down a set of stairs on your bike?
Nope.
No, have you?
A tiny, I don't know if they can be called stairs.
Sure they can.
Maybe steps.
Sure, yeah. And it's fun, right? And so if you have the ability to hop off your bike quickly and run up and down over obstacles, that will help you in the race. Okay, take us into the next paragraph on line 11, Ben.
Well, the rest of the people in the bike race, they were just kind of managing to make it through this race. And manage kind of means that they were doing it, but they weren't doing the best job. In this case, that's what it means.
Mm-hmm. Good. And this is a furious ride over all the bumps and divots of the earth. That's a strange word to use, divot.
Yeah, and a divot is a chunk of earth or grass that's been ripped up. And we often hear this word in a sport they practice in England a lot. The princes of England often do the sport on horses.
Polo?
Yes.
Really?
And so there is, they take a break during the game, and the audience gets into the field and put the divots back into where they belong. They step on
yes,
it like it's a whole
part of
the
event.
They do that in golf as well.
Event.
Yes. The spectators do not do that. The players have to do that.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's a divot. When you're hitting a golf ball on the grass and your club goes too deep into the ground, you're going to hit up a piece of dirt connected with grass.
And make a divot.
It's going to make a divot. And so the polite thing to do is to replace the divot. And you'll see signs on the golf course to remind the players, please replace your divots. Okay. Will kids and adults do the same course? Again, this is why it's such a great sport for kids and parents. Going up that killer hill, that's a funny word to use, killer. We know it as a noun, a killer, someone who kills someone else, but how about as an adjective? This is kind of new, isn't it?
I would say it's more slang,
mm-hmm.
But it's something that is really difficult or really hard. You might feel like you're going to die doing it, but of course you're not, but it feels that way.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was a killer wave if you're out surfing. I mean, it was just huge and maybe a little dangerous.
If you're really busy one week, and could you say, oh, that was a killer week?
Yeah, I'm having a killer day.
Oh, killer day.
I'm just super busy.
Yeah.
You feel like you're going to die, but you're not really.
Right.
Okay. lung burning. If you are extending yourself too much, you feel like your lungs are burning because they need the oxygen. And here's my favorite part. Going downhill was thrilling for the kids who don't worry about crazy things. I don't worry about these things either. Broken teeth and hip replacements. I don't worry about those, though I should. Mm. I should.
Yeah, kids don't think about getting hurt. They just want to have fun.
I guess I'm still a kid then, because I don't worry about getting hurt.
I think young people in general have this idea that they are invincible and that they're going to live forever. They don't really have that concept of being mortal until they hit adulthood. You think that's fair?
I think that's fair. I think that makes sense. I wouldn't say I feel invincible, but when I'm on a bike, I usually don't worry too much about the dangerous parts.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I think being on the bike, it gives you, I don't know, it empowers you. You feel that you're maybe a little bit more invincible than you usually are without a bike.
Oh, yeah. I've come off of a bike and started walking, and I just think, this is taking forever. If I were on a bike, I could just pedal a couple times and get just rolling down the hill. You know,
it's even fun sometimes when you're going down the hill to shout out, I'm invincible!
Oh, so that was you, Steve, that I heard.
You heard that recently. That was me. All right, friends, let's continue the reading now and pick it up on line 18.
It's a great race for anyone with a little sense of adventure and a fun way for parents and their school-aged kids, ages 9 to 14, to swap stories on the drive home. Pumpkin Cross race director Bill Kohler said that there were 329 participants, a 10% increase over last year. The elite racers took off in the first waves and sped their way to podium finishes. Pumpkin trophies and cash prizes of about $1,400 total. For the rest of us, there really is no other race like it. First of all, they call you by name to line up in your lane at the starting line, so you may want to consider an alias if you plan on finishing in last place. New categories. The sport is growing in Wisconsin. This year, the Wisconsin Cycling Association created two categories, Super Cup events, with Pumpkin Cross being one of the six, and Bragging Rights, with 10 events. According to Kohler, all are welcome and appreciated at either series.
Okay, if you've just joined us, you're listening to Advanced Studio Classroom, this month's adventure feature called Cyclocross. My name is Steve, and with me in the studio again is Linda and Ben. We're talking about this new kind of sport, and we're describing what the race is like. And so we've picked it up on page 43, line 18. It's a great race for anyone with a little sense of adventure and a fun way for parents and their school-age kids to swap stories. And this is great because so often kids and parents, they have that gap between them. They don't really know what to talk about. There's really no connection, or it seems that way anyway. And I think a lot of parents would appreciate having something to connect with their kids with, right? And this is one of those things that could make that happen.
Absolutely. And I like how this sport is not set on a time limit. It's the first person who goes across the finish line, they'll time how long that took, and then they'll count how many more laps they should do. So if you have a lot of slow bikers, then the race will be a slower race. You don't have to worry if you're a little kid and you're going against all these adults and it being too difficult. So yeah, it's a nicer race for all different age groups.
That's right. And Pumpkin Cross race director Bill Kohler, what does he say on line 22 there, Linda?
That there were 329 participants in the recent race, and that's a 10% increase over last year.
Okay, again, confirming that this sport is increasing in popularity, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, the elite racers, elite means the best racers, the fastest racers, took off in the first waves and sped their way to podium finishes. I know what a podium is. Podium is a place where you receive your prize if you come in first place, right?
Yeah, so it's, I like how he said that. The podium finish would just mean you finished and now you can go be on a podium. You won. You got first, second, or third.
Yeah, come on up to this podium.
Yeah.
Let everyone see you. Right?
Then you can shout, "I'm invincible."
I would do that. I would do that.
And so, you get a pumpkin trophy,
mm-hmm.
which I assume is a trophy in the shape of a pumpkin.
Maybe. Or maybe it's just a pumpkin.
Maybe it is a pumpkin. I'm guessing it is. And then there's cash prizes. Now, you don't get $1,400 total, but that's the total of the prizes. So that means they're going to be divided. First place might be, I don't know, $400. Second place might be $300 and so on. And they'll have $1,400 total. Now, for the rest of us, the author says there really is no other race like it. Of course, there's not. It's really dirty and dangerous. First of all, they call you by name. I love this part of the lesson. They call you by name. It's kind of personal. They'll call you your name over a loudspeaker.
All 329.
Yeah. So there's a big crowd, and everyone is going to know who you are. So if you're not very good, you may not want to use your real name.
No.
Right? Because that would be embarrassing.
No, yeah, you wouldn't want to. You would want to choose something funny or something that sounds, yeah, interesting.
So the author suggests that you use an alias to plan your race, or use a alias in the race, and an alias is a false name, especially if you are doing criminal activity. All right, so if I was in this race, I would have an alias.
I have a good one for you, Steve.
Oh, you do? All right, lay it on me.
Speed Demon.
Speed Demon.
Ooh.
I like that.
I like it too. That seems to be fitting.
Yeah, I had another one, and maybe you can choose between the two. Imagine this on the loudspeaker. The big bad biker. Biker, biker.
How about this? The big bad speed demon.
Kind of a combination. What about you, Linda? Do you have an alias for yourself?
I couldn't really think of, I don't know, a good one for myself.
How about?
Maybe you can help me out.
How about Linda? Linda.
I thought the whole point was to, you know, not
I've
let
got
people
one.
Who
I've
know
got one.
Are.
Okay.
I would want to be called the youngin.
Okay, the youngin.
The youngin, because I'm always younger than people. So
that will change. That will change.
Yeah, it changes every year.
And possibly in this race, you know, there might be kids younger than you. Maybe six-year-old, seven.
I'll change mine to the olden.
12.
The olden. Okay, that's a good alias. All right, let's move on to the last paragraph. New categories. The sport is growing. We read that earlier in Wisconsin. And this year, the Wisconsin Cycling Association created two categories. Super Cup events, and the Bragging Rights with 10 events. That's a funny name for an event, right? Or two category, a Bragging Right category. This is something that you hear a lot about the last 3 to 5 years, someone having the bragging rights to something. Linda, what is that?
Well, it's often used in sports, but it's when someone feels that they have a right or privilege to brag about something or praise themselves. And usually it's when they've won a contest or done really well in something. Mm-hmm. So they have this right to brag.
Yes. And oftentimes they'll post something on Facebook about it, and they
yes.
want everybody to know that they did this. But bragging rights can also extend itself to different things. For example, if I had tickets to a concert, front row, I would maybe take a picture of those tickets with my phone, and I would post those pictures right on the internet, and that gives me bragging rights. I can say, I was there. I was in the front row. I had a great seat. I had, you know, the best time. And so it extends even beyond the sporting world into other things sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, well, according to color, all are welcome and appreciated. And so once again, the theme or the thread running through this is that adults and children can enjoy cyclocross together. And that's a great thing for parents and their children to participate in. What's
right.
another reason, one or two more reasons, Linda, why cyclocross is so cool?
Well, besides including all ages, you don't really have to be in great shape to do it. I mean, you can be, you know, and that's when you will have that podium finish. But you can, you know, it's also a way for you to get fit. So you can improve your fitness. And it can also improve how you ride a bike. It allows you, because you go through all this different terrain, over rocks, dirt, mountains, you're better able to handle the bike. And a final one would be that doing cyclocross allows you to explore. It gives you this sense of exploration. We mentioned before that being on a bike empowers us. So when you're on a bike, you feel maybe you can do more exploring and go into places, go into a forest where you might not normally go.
Good. Yeah, absolutely. And one thing you reminded me about handling a bike, something I see often, a little tip for everyone. Sometimes it's hard to start biking. And I see a lot of people, they start biking in the sitting position and they can't get the speed they need to stabilize themselves. And so sometimes their takeoff is very, very shaky and they're swerving a lot, which can be dangerous. So my tip for handling a bike is to stand up as you start, so you'll have more power on the pedal and you can stabilize yourself quicker. Free of charge! That's my tip, and we're out of time. So, friends, on behalf of everyone here at Advance, thanks for joining us. Join us tomorrow for another lesson. Have a great day.